In verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you'll notice this passage of Scripture this morning, we'll pray in just a moment, but if you'll notice that it says in everything, that's not always easy, is it? Amen. But the Bible said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. There's a lot in this world that we're just not sure about sometimes concerning the will of God. But we know this, when we're given thanks, we're in the will of God. Amen. I don't know about you this morning, but I've got a lot to thank Him for. Amen. And I want to magnify this morning too. He said, this will of God is in Christ Jesus. And He said, concerning you. Paul made it personal as he's writing here to the church at Thessalonica. Let's pray today and then get right into the message. Father in heaven, I thank You this morning for each and every family that's come this way today. God, I realize this morning there are those that would love to be in the house of God this morning. And Lord, they're not able to be here. God, I just ask You this morning, Lord, just help them and bless them. And God, give them that measure of health that they might be able to make it back. God, I pray for those, Lord, this morning that are suffering, Lord, physically, and those that are suffering spiritually and emotionally. God, we pray You'd lift them up. Now, God, today in this service, You knew before the foundation of the world who would be here today. God, I'm asking You this morning to touch our voice, touch our heart, touch this service, Father. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that when we're finished here today, every one of us could say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I ask You today, Lord, just to stir us up now. And by way of remembrance, God will give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I began on Friday evening to look at this chapter in the Word of God. And the Bible said, in everything give thanks. And the Bible means what it says. But I wanted to look just in this chapter, just stay in the text, and see some things that we might give thanks for in these days. I know that we're entering into the quote-unquote Thanksgiving season. And I'll say this to our church this morning. I believe we ought to be thankful all the time. Amen. I believe husbands, we ought to thank God for our wives every day. I believe mom and dad ought to thank God for children every day. I believe wives ought to thank God for the husband every day. I believe we ought to thank God for our nation. You say, preacher, there's a lot wrong in our nation. That's true. But there's a lot right in our nation. Amen. I thank God this morning I don't have to worry about somebody shooting me for preaching the gospel today. That day may come, amen. But that day's not here yet. I thank God I didn't have to hide my Bible last week. I thank God I could just get it out and read it whenever I wanted to. Amen. I thank God when I got up this morning, I didn't have to wonder if I could find any clothes. I had perfect confidence that my wife would find me something to wear. Amen. I thank God this morning that I've got shoes. I thank God this morning that I've got something to eat. I thank God this morning I have a warm place to stay and a roof over my head. But I thank God most of all this morning that I have Jesus in my heart. I have a home in heaven, amen, when I leave this world. There's so many people, and listen, even in our congregation, the holidays will be hard on them. It brings back memories. They come rushing like a mighty wind, amen. Well, loved ones used to participate and no longer can do that. But I tell you, one of the ways we could overcome is just be a thankful people. Amen. I believe if you want the Holy Ghost to show up, you just start thanking the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, if you want to feel rich, just start thanking God for everything that you have that money can't buy. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, money can buy friends. How many knows that's a lie? Money can't buy a true friend. Amen. Thank God for our friends. Thank God for our freedom. Thank God for the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just this morning want to give you some things out of this chapter. It may be a little bit unusual, but I tell you, it's just how the Lord spoke to my heart as we look in chapter number 5. Look at verse number 1 here. I didn't get through the first verse till God spoke to my heart. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And when you back up to verse number 1, the Bible said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The first thing I want you to see in the message this morning, in everything give thanks. I want to give thanks for the season. You say, preacher, are you talking about the Thanksgiving season? No. Are you talking about the Christmas season? No. I'm talking about the season that's being put before our eyes and hearts here in this verse. The Bible said in verse number 2, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I don't know about you this morning, but there's something going on down inside of me that lets me know. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I know this, I'm living in the season when our Lord will come again. Amen. I'm living in the season. Amen. You can read your Bible. The Bible said as it was in the days of Noah. The Bible said as it was in the days of Lot. I tell you this morning, if you don't know we're living in the season of the coming of the Lord, the Bible said you ought to know it, and you ought to know it perfectly. Amen. That we're living in that season. I thank God for that season, don't you? We're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. He said, preacher, that doesn't excite me. It ought to thrill you. Amen? I tell you something right now. Listen, it shouldn't just thrill old people with arthritis. Somebody say amen. It ought to thrill young people. Amen? With Jesus in their heart. Amen? That it's not going to be long. I just got to thinking, you know, a lot of times people think about seeing their loved ones when they enter in over there to heaven. I tell you, I was just thinking this morning. I said, if mama, my mother, met me at the gate, you say, preacher, what would your mama do? Would she want to fellowship? Would she want to just hug you? Would she want to spend some time? Here's what mama would do if mama met me at the gate. Mama would say, come on, son. There's something you need to see. I tell you, son, we've got plenty of time to fellowship. I want you to see him that gave his life, amen, that you and I could be in this wonderful place called heaven. Amen. I believe that. I believe with all of my heart we ought to be thanking God for the season. This season, let me give you a couple of things right now. I believe that will bless you. Number one, this season should comfort us. It ought to be comforting to know. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said in verse number 18 of chapter number 4. The Bible said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe it ought to comfort you and I to know, amen, that it ain't going to be what the Bible say. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. What the Bible say over there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. He told John, he said, John, come, and I'll show you the things which must come to pass shortly. Hallelujah, amen. I got a hold of that, and it got a hold of me over in Hilton, Virginia, a little while back. God put it in terminology that a country boy could understand. Amen. If you say, preacher, I'll be over here shortly. I know what you're talking about. Guess what? It won't be long and he'll be coming, amen, to take you and I home. And thank God we'll never experience death and pain and sorrow like we do on this side. But thank God he's promised a season. It ought to comfort us to know that we're living in that season. Look at verse 11. The Bible said, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you do. It ought to be comforting to know this morning for the children of God that we're living in the season of the coming of the Son of God. Brother Brian, we've talked about closing the parking lot off. Hallelujah. We might leave it all to the Antichrist. Amen. Before Tuesday ever gets here. Amen. You say, preacher, you want the Antichrist to have the building? I don't care who has it. When he comes, they can have it. Amen. You think this is wonderful? Wait till we get there. Amen. It ought to be comforting, comforting for the children of God to know that we're living in the season when our Lord will come again. Number one, it ought to comfort us. This season that we're living, how many believes we're living in that season? Amen. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. So what do you do, preacher? I tell you what you want to do. Stay ready. Amen. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Listen, it's not coming on God's people. We're not walking in the darkness. We're walking in the light. We're not walking blind. We're walking and we can see that we're living in that season. Amen. I've thought about John the Baptist was a forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we got some forerunners in this world to the Antichrist. Say amen right there. Paving the way. Amen. Paving the way. Just get up and promise them peace and prosperity. I've never seen a time when people could lie, not out of one side of their mouth, lie out of both sides of their mouth. Amen. And get by with it. We're living in a season when Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I thank God for the season. It ought to comfort us. Number two, it ought to change us. Look at verse number 6. The Bible said here, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. How many ever felt sleepy in your Christian life? And you know what I'm talking about. You really weren't aware of your surroundings. You really weren't aware of your responsibility. You really weren't aware of the things of God. You really weren't aware of the ministry that God wanted you to be involved in. And the Bible said, listen, when we think about being in this season, it ought to change us. We ought not to sleep as do others, but we ought to watch and we ought to be sober. I tell you, when I look at the word watch, I can't help but think about the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, God said, I put you for a watchman. Amen. On the wall. And he said, the watchman is to sound the warning. He said, if you sound the warning and that man or that woman does not listen, then their blood will be on their own head. But he said, if you refuse to sound the warning, then their blood will I require at your hands. He said, preacher, why do you want to visit in Bloomingdale? Preacher, why do you want to try to reach sinners? Why do you want our church to be alive? Because I don't want us to stand one day after a while with blood all over our heads. I want them to know there's a God in heaven that loves some amen and will save them if they'll just turn to him. Amen. He said, preacher, we ain't seeing many people saved. I'll tell you this, we're seeing a lot of people warned. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't take no glory in the fact that anybody would die without Christ and go to hell. But I believe if we'll just keep sowing and we'll keep plowing and we'll keep watering, we'll see them come. Amen. We're living in a season. It ought to change us. It ought to change us. Get us out of our sleepy state. Amen. Into a state of awareness. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. Through verse number 24. The Bible said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Brother Van, I don't say this to build you up, but brother, it's not just you. Anybody give me the Word of God, it helps me. Amen. And Brother Brian gets up and gives us the Word of God. Brother Kyle gets up and gives us the Word of God, and it helps me. Amen. Listen to me here. The Bible said here, he talked about them Gibeonites. Amen. They're after our eyes. You see, if they can get our eyes, it won't be long. It'll be our heart. It won't be long. They'll have our ear. And you even talked about, Brother Brian, that financing. It can get so bad that somebody give money to that outfit. Amen. The seed. The Bible talks about here that not only should the coming of the Lord, the season, should it comfort us, but it ought to change us. The Bible said, wherefore, abstain from all appearance of evil. The Bible said the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That word holy is completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something right now. What sanctification is? That's a process. Salvation, it happened the very moment we took Jesus to be our Savior. But I tell you, thank God that day, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He's still working. He's still working. He's still working. He's sanctifying His children. He's changing you. And He's changing me. My friend, knowing that we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Lord, that ought to make it easy. It ought to make it easy, like David said, pour it out. Pour it out before the Lord. Just say, Lord, change what needs to be changed. Amen. Help me, Lord, to be. I tell you, I've heard people in recent days say things like, we need to see a move of God. I tell you something right now, judgment must first begin at the house of God. We've got to get to where we're willing to let the Lord show us what we need to do. Amen. What we need to be. Lay it out before the Lord. It'll change us. The Bible said here in verse number 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. How many believes the season ought to comfort us? How many believes the season ought to change us? Amen. Listen to me. Look over here in chapter 4 and verse number 3. How many likes that? This is the will of God, giving thanks. That's the will of God, right? Watch in verse number 3 of chapter number 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I want to ask you a question. Were these two verses written to the saints, or were they written to sinners? Who was it written to? The saints. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. And yet, we're living in a generation where if a preacher would get up and say, hey, church, we need to abstain from fornication, they'd look at you like a calf looking at a new gate and say, what are you talking about? I tell you what I'm talking about. Men, we're still men. Say amen right there. And I tell you right now, we need to watch or we'll be bent in a way that we're not supposed to be bent. Paul knew. The Holy Ghost knew. God knew how men are made. Amen. And he said, hey, we need God to sanctify us in these days. We need him to sanctify our eyes, sanctify our ears, sanctify our speech, and sanctify our heart. For the glory of God Almighty. The songwriter had it right. Prone to wonder. Can I get an amen anywhere? I'm not talking about the devil's men. I'm not talking about the people down on the bar stool. I'm talking about men that love God in the church pew. We're prone to wander, prone to leave the one we love. And the Bible said as we look at this season and realize where we're living, we ought to be sure that we abstain from those things that would ruin our testimony. Ruin our testimony. I'm going to give you something this morning. There's a reason I'm saying it. I'll never tell you. But we're getting to the place in society where folk can sin and be proud of it. Sin and put it on Facebook. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Sinner people? No. I'm talking about people that name the name of the Lord. You say, preacher, are you going to put them down? No, what I'm going to tell you this morning is the grace of God's not you and me. Amen? Paul is sounding us a warning. Amen? Paul is saying, hey, Jesus is coming and we can get excited about heaven, but we're not there yet. I tell you what the devil would like to do. He'd like to take us out on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. He'd like to destroy your family. He'd like to destroy your marriage. He'd like to destroy your children. He'd like to destroy your grandchildren. He'd love to destroy this church. Would somebody say amen? He would love to destroy this church. Thank God Almighty. There's somebody building it that He can't handle. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I want to give thanks this morning. I'm trying to get on, but just for the season that we're living in. Somebody said, boy, I'd have liked to have lived in Moody's day. You know what Moody would have said? I'll trade with you any day. Y'all are living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. Amen. Amen. Knock holes in the darkness. Do a work for God. Amen. I believe God will help us. We need to thank Him for the season. It ought to comfort us. It ought to change us. Let me give you this thirdly this morning. It ought to challenge us. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 13 of chapter 4. I'm backing up there just a little bit. I'll come into chapter 5 in just a minute. In chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. What's the next word? Brethren. He's still talking to the church concerning them which are asleep. Now, he's not talking about those that are asleep in the church. He's talking about those that are asleep in Christ. Those that have died in the Lord. Those that are in the cemetery. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those that have died or asleep, that you sorrow not. Now look at this. It ought to challenge us, even as others which have no hope. This morning, while we're listening to good singing, while we're rejoicing in the Word of God, rejoicing in the coming of the Lord, our town is full of people that have no hope. None. It ought to challenge us. Over there where Sister Brooke, you're going to be taking the items on Thursday and taking the coats and taking the clothing and some of it going out of these closets over here. I was asked about, can we take some of the winter clothes? I say take it all. Amen. Let somebody have it that can use it. It ain't doing anybody any good hanging over there. Amen. And I tell you, there are people that will line up that don't have the hope that you and I have. And they're never going to care how much we know until they first know how much we care. Every one of us in this building's probably got loved ones that are lost. They're without hope. Here we are living in this season, the season of the coming of the Lord. And the Word of God is teaching us that it should challenge you and I. Challenge us to bring hope to a world that's without hope. Amen. Notice what the Bible said here. Look at verse 4 down through verse number 7. He said, but you, brethren, this is chapter 5, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Jesus told a story about the thief. He said, if a man knew he was going to be robbed, he'd set up and wait on him, wouldn't he? He'd set up and wait on him. The Bible said it's not going to overtake you as a thief. You're the children of light, the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. You say, preacher, I just can't stand to be around that old drunk. I don't want to be around him either. But I don't want to forget to pray for him. I don't want to forget that that used to be me. Amen. I want to remember he needs hope. And that hope is in the Lord. We're living in a season for so many. The Bible talked about it over there in the book of Ephesians. I'll read it. I can't quote it verbatim, so I'll read it. I believe it's Ephesians. They were without God. Let me see here if I can find it. Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible said that at that time, he's talking to the church in Ephesus, you were without Christ. Ye were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope. And without God in the world.
How many remembers that time in your life when you had no hope and you were without God in the world? Listen, some people are still in that time in their life. That ought to challenge us. Look at verse 13. He said, but now. I love that word but in the Bible. Amen. He said, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You say, preacher, where did you find hope? I tell you where I found it, at Calvary. Where did you find hope? In the blood of Jesus. Where did you find hope? In a new birth. Where are they going to find hope? In the same place. It's only one way. Only one door. God said, we're living in the season when our Lord will come again. We ought to just thank God. If you're not careful, hello. Let me back up on that statement. I said, if you're not careful, let me back up on it. If we're not careful. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're not careful, we'll watch the news. And we'll be so depressed. Say amen right there. We'll be so depressed that we won't be any good to our family or our church or our Lord or that sinner man that lives next door. We won't be any good to anybody if we're not careful. I tell you what, if we'll read the news. You say, preacher, like that things are just getting worse and worse. How many's read your Bible? How are things supposed to get before He comes? All the liberals will tell you it's getting better and better. Mankind is evolving. I tell you what, if He is, He's going the wrong way. Somebody say amen. He's not getting better and better. He's getting worser and worser. You say that ain't a word. No, but it's a good description. I believe with all of my heart, it ought to comfort us to know that Jesus is coming. It ought to change us. I need more seasons in my life. Like Saturday night a week ago, when the God of heaven allowed me to look honestly in the mirror. Amen. He said, preacher, surely there ain't nothing wrong in your life. Every one of you all about be about to gag if I told you there ain't nothing wrong in my life. Say amen. If a man says he's without sin, he's got a great old big problem. It wouldn't just be a politician lying, it'd be the preacher lying too. Amen. But it's good to know that in these days, we can come clean with the Lord. And He could still use us. We could say, Lord, it's been a long time since I thanked You for the promise of Your coming. Since I really anticipated. Have you ever had a loved one that you really loved? And you got the news that they were coming. And man, you couldn't wait till they got there. How many knows what I'm talking about? Brother Dan, I had an uncle. Uncle Isaac. He's still living. Vodka just about destroyed him. But he's still living. My uncle used to live in Washington, D.C. How many's ever heard the phrase or the adage, the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. How many's ever heard that? Amen. Well, my uncle always had a new toy. Always. They didn't have children, Brother Ron. My Uncle Isaac. So every time he'd come, he'd either have a bow and arrow, or he'd have a boat, or he'd have a .22. And I can't remember what kind of .22 it was, except to remember this. You just put one shell in it, and you closed the bolt, and then you pulled something back on the back of it, and then you shot it. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen? I don't know if it was a Remington or a Winchester or a Marlin. I don't remember. But I know this. I was good with it. I'm telling you what's the truth. 6, 7, 8 years old, buddy, I was good with it. And so my uncle got to bringing it. And my illustration is this. When I heard that Uncle Isaac was coming, you might not know what he was bringing, but you knew he was bringing something neat. Amen. It was going to be awesome. It's going to be a great weekend. And Uncle Isaac's coming. Brother, he brought that thing 2 or 3 weekends in a row. And I just kept getting gooder and gooder with it. And that last weekend he brought it, I couldn't hit nothing. I'm a young'un, I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I used to be able from here to that back wall, knock a dime off the fence post. And now I can't hit anything. My uncle, he got tired of me out shooting him and my dad. So he'd load a real bullet for dad, and a real bullet for him, and a blank for me. I was shooting blanks. I finally said, how'd you get onto it? I tell you how. I took a gun. I got so mad even as a young'un. I had a lot of pride even as a young'un. I popped that thing and I walked up to that fence post. And I went, pow, nothing happened. I knew I'd been at. That barrel wasn't that far away from that dime when I pulled the trigger on it. My dad, my uncle just laughed. He said, preacher, why'd you tell that? Well, it come to my heart because as a young'un, I could remember how I looked forward to my uncle coming. How many's got some of those memories that just somebody, you just couldn't wait to see them? You just couldn't wait. How many's got some of them others? You dreaded it like a toothache when you, amen, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, God, help them to have 10 flats on the way. But if that's true of a young'un and his uncle, how much more so should it be true of a child of God and his father? My father's coming. And it's going to be all right. I've done read the last chapter in the last book. And it's going to be wonderful. The songwriter said, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Gloriously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Amen. Well, I thank God for the season, don't you? The season we're living in. This morning, we're going to give an invitation, and I want to say it like this. If you're not ready, my prayer would be that the thought of Jesus coming today would not bring comfort, but bring conviction. That you might get ready. As children, we played hide and seek. How many's ever played hide and seek? Remember this little phrase? Ready or not, here I come. Jesus is coming for a people that's ready. Are you ready? If not, this will be a wonderful day to get ready. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for this day you've blessed us with at Bible Way. God, I appreciate so very much the prayers of these precious people. God, this morning I pray that you take the message and use it. Help us, Lord, to give thanks. Help us, our Father,
to be excited about the season that we're living in. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But Lord, we know You're coming again. And we know, Lord, that indicator after indicator after indicator is pointing towards the coming of the Lord. God, this morning, it could be there are folks here that are not ready. God, I pray they get ready. Many of us, Lord, have loved ones that are not ready. God, I pray they get ready. I ask You this morning, Lord, to work in this time of invitation in a special way.